MoneyWeb now on the money.
MoneyWeb now brought to you by Orbvest, a global real estate company that has a hyper focus on acquiring stable income producing medical buildings in the USA. Investors use Orbvest's online platform to invest directly into low risk commercial real estate, primarily in the healthcare niche in the USA, from as little as $5,000. Chatting now with Henry Brookholm. He is, of course, a fund manager at Anchor Capital. Henry, morning. Appreciate your time. The story that's been actually been bubbling around for a while, the Australian Parliament wanting to pass legislation to force Facebook and Google essentially to pay for linking to news sites. And there's some nuances in terms of Google and the snippets that they use. In the last week, Google started negotiating, starting to pay some money. They'd initially threatened to withdraw from Australia. That wasn't going to happen. We also see Google paying out in France, although France just some 20-odd million dollars. I mean, is this a sort of a big spat in a small teacup? Is it something that, as investors or potential investors, particularly in the case of Google, we should be worried about?
Yeah, you know what I think it is? It's just a continuation of the global regulatory crackdown on mm-hmm. big tech companies, where you've got global governments and businesses trying to claw back the revenue that they've lost to the big tech companies as they've kind of transformed the world. And this is just another example of that taking place. And it happens to be the traditional media sector in Australia this time.
And perhaps it's not a bad way to do it, because this isn't, I mean, Australia threatened rules, but they, you know, the Australian Prime Minister last week was saying, you know what, they quite like that bundle of money you're sending our way. Perhaps we can step aside. This is kind of like, you know, two kids in the playground sorting it out without the teacher having to get involved, and it's perhaps a better space and an easier path out for them.
Look, I don't think it's an ideal outcome. I think this is what happens when you don't understand how your own business works. Yeah. I mean, the fact is, when you look at the news, it loses its economic value immediately when mm-hmm. it's disseminated, right? So in the past, when people bought newspapers, they weren't paying for the journalism, if we're honest. They were paying for the printing of the newspapers and the delivery trucks that would bring the newspapers to them.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
advertisers were paying for access to those readers. So nobody was paying for the journalism. And the truth is, these mediums were in trouble a long time before Facebook and Google arrived. And the news outlets needed to understand this. And the fact is, they failed to adapt. And that's why this has happened.
And if, I mean, Google is paying out, as I said, some 20-odd million in France, a couple of hundred million in Australia. For me and you, that's a big weekend. For Google, who does 50 million revenue, or for Alphabet, who does 50 million revenue a quarter, I mean, they don't want to see the money flow out, but this doesn't necessarily threaten their business model. But it might open, I mean, Trade Desk, which is a sort of competitor to the Google and Facebook ad business, does that bring up something in Trade Desk, because they're smaller and therefore sort of not been sort of scrutinized, or am I getting ahead of it here?
Look, I just think that this isn't the answer. I mean, if you look at News Corp or some of the other news agencies in Australia that have now signed an agreement with Google, they're actually now more dependent on Google than they've ever been. Mm-hmm. And that's now not going to change. I mean, if you look at the New York Times in the US, for example, this is a publication that saw the change coming years ago. They knew that they couldn't compete with the search and the social media giants for ad dollars. So instead, they focused on developing really high quality content that they would ultimately sell via a subscription model. And of course, what happened? Well, you know, ad revenue, as they predicted, has fallen from about $2 billion in 2006 to just over $400 million last year. But they now have 7.5 million monthly subscribers, one third of those of whom were added last year. So they've transformed their business. So this is a failure to transform. And, you know, even if you do sign an agreement with Google as a media house, now your revenue is coming from the very guys that you're blaming for your demise.
Yeah, and I mean, we saw, so Facebook shut down sort of all news traffic, which included weather and other things, because they said it was news. They used an algo and it went a bit crazy. But reports are that Australian news sites lost 15% to 20% traffic. I mean, it's just not going to work. I take your point. The Washington Post, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, that's the way to do. Make the quality and charge accordingly. That's how you're going to win this battle.
Yeah, well, it's going to hurt them more than it's going to hurt Facebook, that's for sure. I mean, Facebook spoke about how they send around 5 billion clicks a year to Australian publishers, which they value at around $400 million. And this is now going to go to zero.
Yeah.
And Facebook understand that by kind of kowtowing to the Australian Competition Commission, you're now setting a dangerous global precedent. And Google, which have now done that, I think are going to pay a fairly heavy price. I mean, this will impact margins.
Yeah, no, it is going to hurt them. Let's quickly take a pivot. I haven't chatted to you, I think not this year yet. Two other pieces of news I wanted to touch on. Uber lost their appeal last week in the UK around employing workers. They are contractors. Sorry, they're workers, not contractors and not employees. Kind of falls in the middle. It's early days. It was only 25 people who had taken this to the UK Supreme Court. This is certainly going to be putting pressure on Uber, although they got the proposition in California, which protects them. But I've always looked at their business model. I don't know. I've never thought of Uber as a massively attractive proposition. What's your take on it?
So my kind of take on the delivery economy stock companies like Uber and some of the other food delivery companies as well is that their economics are a little bit precarious, right? Because it's almost based on the exploitation of a vulnerable class of working people. I mean, if you go to the States and you consider the average Uber driver, it's typically a foreigner who's come to the States to try and create a better life for themselves. And they've become an Uber driver because they don't really have an alternative. And if you look at the living they make, I mean, it's really break even at best. So in an environment where your employees are regulated and you're forced to pay them a good living wage with the associated benefits, all of a sudden the business model becomes economically unviable. And that's why Uber, companies like Uber, have been fighting this so hard. So I think it's just confirmation that, you know, these aren't sound business models. And I think that's what you're saying as well.
Yeah, I hear you. And it, you know, based on exploitation of the lowest of the population, not going to work. Last one, Amazon, Jeff Bezos leaving. A surprise. He's only 57. He's off to spend time with his billions and billions of dollars. The market, I mean, they've got a replacement. He's an insider. And he's been there almost as long as Jeff has. It's always a little scary when founders leave. But now looking at Amazon, this is perhaps not really an issue. I mean, it's going to leave a big hole, but it's he's got a team around him.
Look, he does. And the replacement, Andy Jassy, has been around for a long time. I think with a company as big and as complex as Amazon, you know, succession isn't something that you want to leave until the last minute. That's something that you want to plan well in advance. And of course, we know that a guy like Jeff Bezos will remain heavily involved with the business. So, you know, this is probably how you want to see that succession taking place. I think it's more than just Jeff going off and sailing off into the sunset to spend his billions, although there's certainly there's a component of that. You know, running a company like Amazon really isn't a one-man job. It's a job for 20 people. And this is probably now the Amazon board starting to put that infrastructure into place. So it's what you want to see, really.
Yeah, I mean, he has his S team, and I don't know how many people are in it, but those are the folks essentially running it. He's going to be stepping up as executive chairman, so he's still going to be around. But as you say, a business of that side. And Andrew Jassy, I mean, he got AWS off the ground, and of course, AWS is now their biggest part of the business. We'll leave that there. Henry Brodkamp, he's a fund manager at Anchor Capital. Henry, really appreciate your time this morning. This show is brought to you by Orbvest's latest investment opportunity, Medical 29. It's a multi-tenanted Class A medical office building located in Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit orbvest.com. Orbvest SA is an authorized financial services provider with license number 50483.